Radio.com.
When you're shamed by the appearance of your teeth, simple things like smiling can seem embarrassing. A rejuvenated look is what you need. At Modern American Dentistry, you can get the perfect smile with a makeover using supermodel veneers and crowns. Simply tune in to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gold starting June 10th to learn more.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
ForRadio.com.
Get your smile on with Dr. Joel Gold, your peek into oral health, cosmetic dentistry, and wellness solutions from Modern American Dentistry.
All righty, everybody. Hello out there. Welcome to Get Your Smile On. This is Dr. Joel Gould, your wellness dentist, and I'm here with another episode of our podcast. Today, I'm really excited. We are going back to the vitamin D train and, talking about all the different conditions that we've talked about and all the physical health issues that I've had and my patients have had. When I discovered the vitamin D secrets, and really it was a secret to me because I'd never heard anything about how important this vitamin, which is not really a vitamin, this is a fat-soluble hormone, I can't really believe that this is not more widely known. So in my investigation, I went down many different pathways to find out who would be the best source of information regarding vitamin D, and basically all roads led to the gentleman that we're going to have on the show today. It's Dr. Michael Hollick. He's an MD and a PhD, and his qualifications are a little too numerous for me to list. I'm going to have him on in 1 second so he can introduce himself, and we can find out a little more about the origins of vitamin D. And he has been at the forefront of this chemical for really a very, very long time. And, this is the Bible, his book called The Vitamin D Solution, a three-step strategy to cure our most common health problems, all really about vitamin D and how to get it and why it's important. So I'm going to bring him on right away. And I'd like everybody to know that this is really the gentleman who is the beginning and the origin and has helped so many people regain their health. So Dr. Hollick, are you out there?
I'm here in body and spirit. Good to talk to you, Joe.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I know how busy you are, and I really appreciate this time. And, my listeners have sort of been discovering about vitamin D along with me. And, we had discussed earlier that my vitamin D story is very common, a chronic vitamin D deficiency coming from Canada, just simply not getting enough sun exposure, has really ruined my life in a lot of ways. But ultimately, I'm here to get the message out. So could you please tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and your medical origins?
Sure. So I'm professor of medicine, physiology, and biophysics at Boston University Medical Center. And I'm also director of the Bone Healthcare Clinic and the General Clinical Research Unit. And how I got into vitamin D is always the question. And, you would think that I cleverly thought about this 40 years ago. Not quite. I was a graduate student, and in typical fashion, when you're a graduate student and you're looking for a research project, you don't always have a choice. And, of course, you would like to be working in the hottest field at the time. And back then, it was mitochondria and how the body uses energy. But there were no openings, and so it was suggested I work in vitamin D. And my response was instant. Why would I want to work in vitamin D? And the answer was simple, because that's probably the only thing you're going to work in. And happened to be in the right place at the right time. And for my master's degree, I happened to be the one to identify the major circulating form of vitamin D that when you go to your doctor and order 25-hydroxyvitamin D, that's the metabolite that I identified in human blood. And then for my PhD, I was the one that identified the active form of vitamin D produced by your kidneys, known as 125-dihydroxyvitamin D. My roommate and I were the first to chemically make it. And because we realized that kidney failure patients who couldn't activate vitamin D, they had bone disease. So the stuff we made in the test tube, we gave to the patients, and they were wheelchair bound, and they started walking again. So that was kind of my first introduction to vitamin D, and it's always excited me ever since. And I was extremely fascinated by the fact that why is it that sunlight would provide you with such an important hormone? And for the past 30 years, basically, I've worked on areas trying to understand time of day, season of the year, latitude, degree of skin pigmentation. And at the same time, came upon a new observation, which is that the skin not only recognizes and makes vitamin D, but it has a receptor, and introduced the concept in the 1980s that maybe you could use activated vitamin D to treat psoriasis. And that's basically one of the first-line treatments for psoriasis worldwide.
Wow. Okay. So you said so much there. I just want to go back for 1 second. When you said vitamin D, was there a lot of research being done in that field? Because I know that in those days, it was known that sunlight exposure was important for TB. Was that something that was a field that was gaining interest, or that was basically, they said, here you go, there's not a lot of work out there, take what you can get?
Right. There was essentially no interest in vitamin D back in the early 1970s when I was a graduate student with Dr. DeLuca at the University of Wisconsin. And it was only because we began to recognize that vitamin D had to get activated first in your liver and then in your kidneys, and that kidney form was critically important for how your body responds to calcium and for bone health, that all of a sudden it became of great interest. And really it's only the past decade that we've now recognized that probably more than 1 billion people worldwide are vitamin D deficient and has very serious health consequences.
Right. Okay. So now in previous shows, we have talked about those, but I do want to bring up some of the most serious ones. And these are things that still boggle my mind that this isn't known. You know, I've got lots of patients who have autistic kids, and I've got lots of patients who have MS. And so those are the two big ones that why is this not a little more known by the medical community that there is a very strong connection between vitamin D deficiency and both of those conditions?
Yeah, I mean, as you know, autism is relatively common, and vitamin D deficiency is very common. So it may be playing a role in that disorder. Whether or not it's a causative effect, I think, we still need more research to better understand that. But for MS, I think it's a lot more clear, which is that it's always been known that if you live above Atlanta, Georgia, for the first 10 years of your life, you have 100% increased risk of getting multiple sclerosis for the rest of your life. And a study done out of the Nurses' Health Study at Harvard showed nurses that had the highest intake of vitamin D throughout their life reduced their risk of getting multiple sclerosis by as much as 42%.
Wow. Well, so these statistics, and that leads me to the next one, is cancer. So what can we say with confidence about vitamin D and cancer?
Well, it turns out that basically every cell in your body has a receptor for vitamin D. That means that it needs vitamin D to fully function. And we're now recognizing that the hormonal form of vitamin D, this active vitamin D, is produced locally in many cells in your body, including your colon, prostate, breast. And we think it does it to help to regulate cellular growth and to prevent cells from becoming malignant. And what it also does is that if the cell does become malignant, it actually acts like a sledgehammer and actually induces its own destruction, what we call apoptosis. And so vitamin D is able in many ways to be able to regulate cell growth and help prevent malignancy. And that's why there's these associations with vitamin D deficiency with increased risk of colorectal cancer and ovarian cancer. And over, I think it's about 15 cancers now have been associated with vitamin D deficiency.
Okay. So does the medical community, you're actively working in the real medical community. You're not by any means on the fringe of anything. Do cancer doctors, our oncologists, are they aware of these studies? And, is this starting to factor into how they're treating a disease like cancer?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, we make it very clear that if you have cancer, you're not going to treat the cancer with vitamin D, because basically the cat's out of the bag. Vitamin D's role is really to help prevent you from getting the cancer. But there's enough evidence out there to suggest that if you do have cancer on chemotherapy, that it's possible that you'll respond better by improving your vitamin D status. And I've seen several cancer patients in my clinic where they do feel better because, as you know, vitamin D deficiency also causes muscle weakness, aches and pains in your bones and muscles, and fatigue. And that's often associated with chemotherapy.
Right. Well, that's really incredible information. And you know, I'm from Canada originally, and I think we spoke about that. And both of my parents have recently been treated for cancer, and I was very disappointed that there was absolutely no mention of vitamin D, no checking of their levels or anything. So it's still, I guess, it's just a message that really isn't out there. You know, and it brings me to I saw you on the Today Show recently, and I was really happy to see that a mainstream major media show would feature this. But then I want to bring up that they rebutted you with a guy, I guess it was a dermatologist, and I kind of got a laugh out of it because it made me think as a dentist, if I said to my patients, you cannot have one single drop of sugar ever in your entire life, you know, that would be ridiculous. And so I want to talk a little bit about, you know, you wrote this book, The Vitamin D Solution, which has pretty much changed my life. And I recommend everybody out there listening, if you have friends who are suffering really from almost any ill health effect, get this book. Because no matter what you're doing, having your vitamin D level at the right level, it can't be a bad thing. Now, that brings me to how we get vitamin D. We've talked about our supplements and that, and now I want to talk a bit about sun exposure. Now, no one is advocating that you go out there with no sunscreen on and fry yourself. So what do you think? Now, I want to let you just talk a little bit about safe sun exposure, and which brings to mind, I also want to talk about the app that you have, which is D-Minder, okay? And that is a guide to help you get safe sun exposure. So why don't you sort of tell us you know, what your issues have been with discussing just safe sun exposure, and maybe just sort of briefly what that means so my listeners can understand, you know, how they could get their vitamin D in a more natural way than a supplement.
Sure. And so just as you pointed out, is if you ask the question, why is it that so many people are vitamin D deficient? The answer is simple. There's essentially no vitamin D naturally in your diet. And so you're right. We've always depended on sun for our vitamin D requirement. And so I typically recommend that you can go out for about half the time that it would take to cause a mild sunburn and expose arms, legs, abdomen, and back when appropriate, but always protect the face because it's the most sun exposed and most sun damaged. How much vitamin D will you make? We did a study and showed that if you take a healthy adult in a bathing suit and expose them to stimulated sunlight, like being out on the beach and getting a light pink to your skin 24 hours later, not a sunburn, it's equivalent to ingesting about 15,000 to 20,000 units of vitamin D a day. So you're right. If you use the app called dminder.info, and it's free on your Android and on your Apple, is that it will tell you anywhere on the globe, any time of the year, that you can or cannot make vitamin D, and it will tell you how much vitamin D you're making, and it will tell you to get out of the sun because you've made enough so that you don't damage your skin.
Okay, well, that type of talk sounds outrageous and ridiculous. You could even imagine telling somebody to be outside without sunscreen. And, of course, I'm joking. When I learned about the anti-sun lobby, it was really shocking to me. You know, I guess everyone wants to make money, but to you know, the idea that if you were to spend some time outside for the first few minutes you don't put your sunscreen on, I just can't imagine how that's all terrible. And, you know, we've discussed in previous shows how serious the lack of vitamin D can be. Now you're putting sunscreen on, you've got you're not getting any of the UVB rays, so you're not getting any of the benefits to vitamin D production, yet at the same time you're exposing yourself to sunlight and the UVA rays.
Yeah, and just to give you some examples that people don't appreciate is, you know, you've been taught to go out in the early morning and late afternoon in the summertime, go jogging, make your vitamin D. You actually make none. It's the worst time of the day, believe it or not, to go out, for your skin at least, because you're getting blasted by UVA, which damages your immune system, increases risk for melanoma, and causes skin wrinkling. You only make vitamin D from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. And if you live above Atlanta, Georgia, you basically cannot make any significant vitamin D in your skin from about mid-October until around mid-March, early April. And so there's a lot of misconception out there about sunlight and vitamin D. And we've done the studies to show exactly when and where you can make it. And if you are a person of color, you're just wearing a very effective sunscreen. And so they often need to be outside 5 to 10 times longer to make the same amount of vitamin D as a white person.
Right. So do you think that the correlation between, you know, a darker skin tone and all ill health effects like diabetes and heart disease, you think that it's related to lower vitamin D?
I think so, and others have said the same thing, that there are people of color at higher risk for, like you said, heart attack, stroke, diabetes, more aggressive cancers, infectious diseases like tuberculosis, and we think that that's all related to them having more significant vitamin D deficiency.
Right. It's pretty incredible stuff. All right. So I want to talk just about a little other issue. There's something called photenoids that you have spoken about, some other issues that we may get from that safe sun exposure. What brought this to the forefront, and what can you tell us about what else we could be getting by having some safe sun exposure?
Yeah, I mean, it turns out, you know, people feel better when they're out in the sun, and there's a reason for it, and that is that you make beta endorphin in your skin, and your listeners probably are aware that beta endorphin is basically the endogenous opioid that gives runners their high, their feeling of well-being. So that's important. Also, when you're exposed to sunlight, you make nitric oxide, and nitric oxide is a substance that causes dilation of your blood vessels, so it helps you make you relax and helps to keep your blood pressure normal. And there are a variety of other substances in the skin that are also being produced that we think may play a role in reducing risk, so like rheumatoid arthritis, for example, or people that have rheumatoid arthritis, they may feel better when they're exposed to sunlight, because there's a gene in the skin that can make a compound that will stimulate your adrenal glands to make steroid, just like cortisol, and that will help decrease inflammatory activity. And it also has an effect on your immune system and can, in a good way, have an effect on your immune system to reduce risk for autoimmune diseases, as you said, multiple sclerosis, but also type 1 diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, and even inflammatory bowel disease, Crohn's disease.
Right. Okay. So that's where I break in and say, I've shared this with my listeners before, that I was diagnosed with Crohn's when I was 12 years old, and I've suffered from this condition my entire life. And so for myself, there is many things that changed in my life when I started to supplement my vitamin D, as I was below 20 when I first found out. And one of the things that really kind of blew my mind is that my Crohn's disease symptoms day by day are receding. And I literally have suffered this my entire life. I ended up emailing my gastroenterologist, and I sent him, you know, all this incredible information, and I got a response back, sort of a lukewarm, well, that might help. And it's just, you know, so it was so hard for me when I realized what had happened in my life and how so unnecessarily I had a combination of a vitamin D deficiency and sleep apnea, and that sort of brings me to the next topic. Why is vitamin D and sleep and sleep apnea, do you have any idea why these things are linked? Because what I see, we're seeing a lot of people here with either undiagnosed or untreated sleep apnea, and every one of them has the absolute lowest levels of vitamin D, some of them below 10. And, you know, what can you say about how vitamin D would interact with sleep, or why this would even be a factor?
Sure. So two things may be going on. We know that there are vitamin D receptors in your brain, and vitamin D is playing an important role in neurotransmission in your brain. It will stimulate the production of serotonin, which is has a positive benefit overall. But also, vitamin D deficiency causes muscle weakness, and that includes your diaphragm. And I think that improving your vitamin D status will improve muscle function throughout your whole thorax and help you in your breathing activity, and also stimulate neurotransmission in your brain that may help reduce the need to have this apnea type of circumstance when they're going to sleep.
Okay. Wow. So, you know, it's funny because I like to think about what are the things, you know, my friends all think I'm crazy, obviously, because I talk about this a lot. But what do you there's so many things that are linked to this. You know, I try to go through what isn't affected by vitamin D. And so what it brings me back to all the time is that it doesn't really matter. You know, we can't prove a lot of this stuff. And thankfully, you've done a lot of work in the science of this. But, you know, the question is, what's the downside to somebody, no matter what their health or level of illness is, to supplementing their vitamin D? And what's your minimum level that you think that people should be at? I know there's a little bit, not real controversy, but different people have different ideas of what their level of vitamin D should be. But, you know, what's the downside about supplementing your vitamin D and then seeing what happens?
Sure. So what I always tell physicians is that if you think about this, our hunter-gatherer forefathers outside every day were making vitamin D all the time. So how do you know what they were really doing? Well, studies have been done in Maasai warriors who are outside every day in Africa. Their blood levels, on average, are about 40 to 50 nanograms per ml. The Endocrine Society, which really recommends how to treat and prevent vitamin D deficiency to doctors, recommends that your blood level should be at least 30 and preferably 40 to 60, and up to 100 is perfectly safe.
Okay. And so I know we've talked about this in the past, but it's very tough to overdose on vitamin D. Something has to be going very wrong. And, you know, what I've been telling my patients is, you know, when I say, you know, they're taking 1,000 international units and their level is at a 16, you know, I let them know that they're never going to build up their supply by that. But what are the symptoms of vitamin D overdose? And I know that there really aren't any when it comes to sun exposure because your body prevents you from producing too much. Is that the case?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We showed that many, many years ago. And so vitamin D toxicity is typically seen when your blood level is above about 150 to 200 nanograms per ml. It's one of the rarest medical conditions. And what happens is that your blood calcium starts to rise, your blood pressure goes up, you start to have the deposition of calcium in your kidneys, so you can wind up with kidney failure. It can deposit in your blood vessels. But it takes a long time for that to happen. And typically, like you said, you would have to take literally 50,000 units of vitamin D a day for a year before you even have to begin to worry about toxicity. We had reported a case of a lawyer who went on the Internet back in the early 90s to buy vitamin D thinking he was taking 2,000 units a day. The company forgot to dilute it. He was actually taking 1 million units a day for a year. And he was intoxicated. And so he asked me to be his doctor, and I told him, stop all vitamin D, wear sunscreen, don't make any vitamin D. And he totally resolved, and he had no complication from the vitamin D intoxication. So even though doctors are mortified about this, it almost never occurs unless it's intentional or inadvertent exposure to massive amounts of vitamin D for a prolonged period of time.
Right. So this has been the biggest issue, I think, from what I'm seeing. You know, with just a discussion with my patients, sometimes I ask them, you know, have you had your vitamin D level checked? And they get barely up in arms, say, oh, mine's fine. I take a multivitamin, you know, and I have to explain to them that there's only 400 international units in a multivitamin. And then when I recommend 5,000 or 8,000, they get excited by the thousands part. So if this was not named a vitamin, would there be a completely different experience with vitamin D? Did this really get messed up because we called it a vitamin? And who did this? Who called it a vitamin?
Well, it's historical because this happened back in the early 1920s when vitamin A was first discovered for your sight, and the B vitamins were discovered, the C vitamin was discovered, and then they found cod liver oil had something that prevented rickets. And so they called that new vitamin, which is called a vital amine, because they thought these were all amines, vitamin D. And it stuck. And you're right, vitamin D is a hormone, but sometimes people also are frightened of the concept of hormones. So it's a catch-22 in terms of what to call it. In terms of how much vitamin D, simply I tell parents or children, they should be on 1,000 units of vitamin D a day. Teenagers and adults should be on at least 2,000 units of vitamin D a day. If you're obese, you need 2 to 3 times more. And I typically take about almost 4,000 units a day. All of my patients are on 3,000 units of vitamin D a day. And like you said, there is no downside to increasing your vitamin D intake. And you're right. Just even before 2010, the recommendation from the United States government basically was people only needed 200 units of vitamin D a day. They've been off by a factor of at least 10. And that is clear because, like I said, we know that when you're exposed to sunlight in a bathing suit, right, you're making up to 20,000 units of vitamin D a day. So our hunter-gatherer forefathers are basically making probably 3,000 to 5,000 units a day. And that's the amount of vitamin D we think that all adults need to satisfy that requirement.
Right. And so that, just to refresh everybody's memory, that still technically is not enough if you're really low, because this is a fat-soluble hormone that needs to build into your tissue, and it does take time. I wanted to ask you about one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot, and you know, the vitamin D deficiency when it comes to moms, pregnant moms. And, you know, I have this concept or idea that, you know, I'm the second of three children. So my brother got the most vitamin D during my mother's pregnancy. Granted, I'm sure she was not supplementing at all. So by the time my sister was born, she would have been born with the least amount of vitamin D. How long does it take somebody to really get to those low levels to start to affect, you know, pregnancy and having children?
Yep. So the half-life is about 2 weeks. And so if you're vitamin D sufficient in the summertime and you don't take a vitamin D supplement because you can't make vitamin D from sunlight during the fall and the winter, then you will become vitamin D deficient within a couple of months. You'll go below 20 nanograms per ml. And that's why we tell all pregnant women they should take their prenatal vitamin, and they should be taking at least 2,000 units of vitamin D a day. A study was done in South Carolina, and they showed that pregnant women that took 4,000 units of vitamin D a day raised their blood levels around 40 to 50 nanograms per ml, and there was no untoward consequence. And we think that's important because in utero, vitamin D deficiency increases risk for preeclampsia, the most serious complication of pregnancy. And there's evidence that children born of moms that are vitamin D deficient are more likely to develop wheezing disorders and asthma within the first few years of life.
Wow. So basically what you're saying is something that, you know, I've been telling my listeners for a while, is that this is a very safe type of chemical to take. The consequences of not taking enough are very serious, and the consequences of taking too much seem to be very limited. And why, so once again, what's your best guess as to why this just isn't more known?
It's mainly because it's a vitamin, right?
Right.
It's not in a super expensive medication, and it's for prevention. It's not for treatment.
All right. So when you see these commercials, there's three new psoriasis medications on the market now that I see them advertising. And so is there any thought, like, is vitamin D, would that be a component of these new medications? Because it doesn't seem to be what they're pushing.
Right. And so active vitamin D is available by prescription and works reasonably well for those that have like a less than 10% psoriasis, the typical elbow and knees. It works reasonably well. But taking vitamin D, improving your vitamin D status, can sometimes also be valuable. I've dealt with psoriasis patients, as you probably know, for about 30 years now, and some of these medications, especially the ones that alter your immune system, can have some pretty negative effects. And so a good choice is active vitamin D initially, topically, and to improve your vitamin D status.
Right. Well, that, you know, obviously that's the problem we've been seeing a lot, is that the pharmaceutical industry wants to make all these expensive drugs, and we haven't even yet got everybody to a level of vitamin D where we don't know who really has an illness that needs to be treated with special medication and who's just vitamin D deficient. It must be pretty frustrating for you to watch this over the years.
Right, exactly. And so, I mean, I realized this back in the 1980s when they started promoting sunscreen and telling you to avoid all sun exposure, that abstinence never works and it also has consequences. And to me, the major consequence was going to be it was going to cause a worldwide vitamin D deficiency epidemic. And that's exactly what it's done.
What
so
is?
40% of Australians now are vitamin D deficient. So even the American, even the Dermatologist Society of Australia now recommends some sensible sun exposure. The World Health Organization, if you go on their website, they are now recognizing that some sensible sun actually does provide you with your vitamin D. So slowly but surely, the tide is turning. But in the United States, still the American Academy of Dermatology is emphatic that you should never be exposed to one direct ray of sunlight for your entire life.
Wow. Well, you know, as I've gotten into this, I've had some friends contact me and say, I never did fall for that all sun exposure is bad. And, you know, I'm glad to see that maybe some people are a little less cautious with the sunscreen, but I really want to make it known to all the listeners and everybody that, you know, the sun can be harmful as well. So your D-Minder app is spectacular. And also your book really lays out the clear way how to get vitamin D safely. Now, just a couple more things before we let you go. This is only a half-hour show, and I really appreciate your time. I had a discussion with you about the idea, and this is what I've been really focused on, is that I've been treating sleep apnea here in the office, and I have it myself. And as I get more educated in this, all the talk is about how our airways are much more narrow than they used to be compared to skulls that we see 300, 500 years ago, and how that the biggest thought that all these experts, and these are some of the preeminent experts in the world that I've been listening to, and these are smart guys, they're talking about how when a country or a civilization becomes industrialized, because of the soft diet, their jaws atrophy and they're small. I had a completely different idea. I thought that as countries become industrialized and they move indoors, we start to have vitamin D deficiency. And my question, and I sent you that study done in the boy in 1960-something, is if you thought that it was likely that there could be some way that vitamin D deficiency was responsible for helping our jaws to narrow, because we see a lot of dental crowding these days and a lot of smaller airways. What's your feeling on that?
It's a good question. And we know that vitamin D is critically important for bone cell activity and also for the cells that make the collagen matrix. It helps them mature properly, and if you're vitamin D deficient, that all goes awry, and it's quite possible that some of these observations that you've made may very well be associated with in utero vitamin D deficiency, which is incredibly common. I mean, we did a study at our hospital, and we showed pregnant women on a prenatal vitamin taking 2 glasses of milk a day on 600 units of vitamin D a day at the time they gave birth. 76% of moms, 81% of newborns were vitamin D deficient, less than 20 nanograms per ml.
Wow. So it's then, because that's what to me it seems fairly obvious, and for myself, I had the same thing. As a vitamin D deficient kid, I have a narrow, high vault palate and dental crowding, and I also had dental decay, and I see this in my patients now. The ones with periodontal disease, they've got really low vitamin D. So it makes perfect sense to me that something that boosts your immune system, when you're deficient, you would have, the consequences like gum disease. And I know there are some studies that have linked vitamin D.
Exactly. There's a National Health Survey that showed that vitamin D deficiency is associated with periodontal disease and tooth loss.
Crazy. Wow. It's pretty incredible. Okay, so before I let you go, I just want to sort of repeat. I'd like you to just tell us again where everybody's, what's the name of your app so they can get that downloaded, because it's pretty incredible the things that it does. I was, I've got my data in there, so I'm tracking my own vitamin D. And what's it called again, one more time?
So DMINDER, so DMINDER.info. And you can go to my website, just drholick.com. Lots of information about vitamin D, and the app is there as well.
Okay. Well, I don't even know what to say. As far as I'm concerned, you're really at the forefront of, the most major discovery in current medical history. And I thank you so much for your time and the information that you gave to our listeners.
My pleasure, Joe. Have a delightful day.
Okay, thank you. You too. Bye. All right, everybody. So that was the incredible Dr. Michael Hollick. Funny, that, you know, just a few short months ago, I had absolutely no idea what vitamin D was. I had the faintest idea, having learned about it really briefly in dental school, about how vitamin D is important for bone and teeth formation because of calcium. And, you know, here's 25, 30 years later, I find out that not only is vitamin D critical to almost every single system of our body, that my entire life has been affected by a vitamin D deficiency. So as a wellness dentist, what my message is to make sure that I can reach as many people as possible with the easiest and simplest ways to either regain your health or maintain your health. And I just simply can't believe that there's something out there that's basically free of charge that reduces and can prevent cancer, that does all of these incredible things that I personally experienced the benefits from. And I'm going to close the show up by saying this was, you know, for me, this was the ultimate vitamin D experience and trip for you. I hope that I haven't bored you with this, but this really is some pretty incredible stuff. So until next week, thank you all for listening to Get Your Smile On. Please share this podcast with any friends you have who may have any medical issues. You can also rate us on iTunes. We'd love some good reviews. And I look forward to speaking to you all next week. Thank you, and please get your smile on.
Thanks for listening to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gold. Keep smiling and tune in next time to listen to Dr. Joel Gold reveal the secrets of cosmetic dentistry and wellness.
ForRadio.com.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Trust Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trust Rio's, our only limit is your imagination. That's Trust Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535 or find us on the web, TrustRioSilver.com. Proud to be part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Discover the mysteries of cosmetic dentistry. For all the insider tips and wellness solutions, tune in to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gold starting June 10th at 7 p.m.
ForRadio.com.